capacity does not seem to be keeping up with the demand.
I believe that these things will start to calm down before we get into like the real meat of produce.
I remember those days taking it home with you. This is unbearable. I can't handle it.
We were pretty cautiously optimistic with our clients going into this year, right? We were pretty clear that, hey, we don't think you should see huge disruptions.
Andrew Lynch coming to you to talk about Q2 freight market. How are we doing, Andrew?
We're doing great. Excited to be here.
Calling all CPG shippers, truckers, and logistics pros. Welcome to the Truck Yeah Podcast, your ultimate cheat code for smarter shipping, smoother logistics, and dominating the shelf where it matters most. Buckle up. It's time to learn, laugh, and get your freight on.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Zipline Logistics Podcast. My name is Jesse Jewett. I am running the show solo today, but I've got a special guest, a recurring guest, founder Andrew Lynch, coming to you to talk about Q2 freight market. How are we doing, Andrew?
We're doing great. We're doing great. Excited to be here. Really sad to not have Teddy with us to help carry the conversation, but we're gonna power through.
We're going to power through. Candidly, we're coming back from a great trade show, Expo West, out in Anaheim, California. Of the seven folks that went there, six of us got something on the flight or at the show. I think there's like 75,000 people there or something like that.
I think it's bigger. It's definitely bigger. Not COVID, though, right?
Not COVID. That is confirmed. It's varied, which is nice. Everyone's had something a little bit different. I had sinuses. Teddy's got a sore throat. Other people have stomach issues. It's great. But enough of that. The show was awesome. We had a great time. We're talking Q2. We were headed into Q1. I think we predicted some slight upheaval. And
it got hot. It got hot.
It got hot. Just to recap, we definitely talked about the non-domiciled CDL initiatives heading into kind of the holiday season. We had a great Black Friday as far as consumer spending that was above predictions. And that kind of carried us, the wind was in the sails as far as volumes and lack of capacity was concerned right before Christmas and New Year's. And then as it does, the weather hits in January. And that caused continued disruption. And initially, that's what a lot of folks were talking about in the beginning of January. They're like, this is weather. It's going to reset after a week. And it didn't, right? We were seeing rejection rates on a macro level increase. I think most of 2025, it was hovering around 4 to 5%, maybe even less than that.
Yes.
And has been like that for probably 2.5, 3 years. And it spiked to 10, and then we saw it go to 12, and we saw it spike to 14. So the weather dissipated a little bit, and then it hit again about a week or two later. So that caused some more disruption. And again, February usually cools down. The freight volumes are down in February. That's typically, you've been in the business a long time, typically not a very hot month as far as volumes are concerned. But we started to see that trend increase. A lot of it, I think there's differing opinions on where, but most of that was pointing into like the Midwest or the quote unquote Rust Belt, if you will, like a lot of manufacturing, not a lot of imports from what I have read. And here we are heading towards the end of quarter one, and those rejection rates are still above 12%.
Yeah.
And capacity does not seem to be keeping up with the demand. In fact, I think there's potential that it's departing faster.
Yeah.
And people are just trying to adjust.
And it seems like there might be new and interesting regulations coming down the pipe that'll put even more pressure on the system.
Yeah, I don't think it's specifically on our show notes, but the Delilah bill or law.
Yeah.
That was a good lesson for me. I don't have a what was the show? Conjunction Junction or just a bill. Well, I can't think of it. I don't know why. I can't think of it. What's the show?
I don't know. I can't remember what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember.
I'm just a bill.
Yeah.
Here I am in Capitol Hill. But anyways, I read that article, Delilah's Law, and it was interesting. So, and I've talked about this with a lot of customers, certainly with our team on the floor, and we are going way off topic, but it makes sense. So the current initiatives are just that, right? There's laws, but they're just, hey, let's focus on this. We're going to make a difference. This is our administration. We can do what we want. We're going to focus on non-domiciled CDLs. Again, I've said, regardless of what you think about the other tactics, it's a focus and there's some validity to it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like 70,000 pound missiles going down the highway should probably have people that can understand the signs and...
They need to be very well regulated, 100%. Right. Yeah, I don't think it'd be hard to argue against that.
So, but this Delilah's law is, could, or bill that could become a law changes the game, right? That doesn't allow a new administration to come in and disregard it. It becomes a law.
Yeah.
Now everyone has to follow the rules, right? What I thought, so I thought that was an interesting kind of play.
Yeah, and whether or not it leads to like an instant fleshing out of capacity, what it does is it creates a cooling effect, right, for new capacity. And we all know just how transient capacity is, right?
Correct.
It's extremely elastic. It ebbs and flows with markets. People flow into this industry out of other industries. They flow into this industry out of other countries.
Right.
And when you take away those options for a significant demographic of folks that are current participants, you're going to affect what the long-term trajectory of capacity growth looks like, and you're going to affect that elasticity. And I think that that's, for those of us that participate in this space, it's a good thing. There are enough variables in this business as it is, right? Whether, you know, it's fuel, whether it's demand, whether it's weather, WEA, that we don't necessarily need there to be this relative black box on what on earth is going on with this supply side.
Right.
And to have a decades long argument about there being a driver shortage, only to turn around and find the largest driver overhang in the history of any industry.
Yeah. At the worst time.
At the worst possible time was a pretty painful lesson for all of us. And so again, you know, your point being, politically agnostic about how these things are done. Yeah, the regulation is critical and control of this population is critical. And with regard to what we've seen so far, I do think that we can control our focus around like the hype machine that says, hey, the good times for shippers are over and your life's about to get turned upside down and welcome back to 2021. Because I don't think that's, at least from what I can see, that's not what's going on. I think that we've referenced this several times over the years. I know on client calls, but certainly in these podcasts, that when you have an environment where trucking companies and brokers are operating at not just the razor thin margins that they always operate at, but really below their costs in a lot of cases. Relationships with drivers and relationships with carriers, you can have the best relationship in the world. If someone's losing money doing business with you and they have an opportunity to make money, they are honor bound or however you want to see it to take that opportunity. They have to. And I don't know that I see the demand cycle being all that different right now than what we thought it was going to look like going into this year. And I don't even know that the supply side is all that different than we thought it was going to be this year. What we have seen really clearly is that when these opportunities to capitalize come up, every single participant has got to do their part to bring home the bacon for their people, for their families, for their employees. And that's just the nature of the space that we're in right now. I do think that we're going to continue to see market improvement. We were pretty cautiously optimistic with our clients going into this year, right? We were pretty clear that, hey, we don't think you should see huge disruptions. A lot of that is because of how they engage with us.
Right.
They trust us to know that it's service first.
Absolutely.
And everything else tied for second. And so they're really safe. But I do think that messaging can persist even beyond the confines of Zipline, that you shouldn't. If you've been managing your business the right way and your relationships with your providers the right way, if you have partners, you shouldn't see massive swings in your costs over a long enough timeline. There will be periods where you're going to have a tough week or a tough month because you have to orient towards service. By and large, it shouldn't be like a budget buster year.
Yeah, there's a we definitely had a, have had a podcast about controlling the controllables.
Yeah.
Excuse me. The folks that do that really, really well, lead time, flexibility, as you said, partnership, consolidation, all those things working together, transparency, et cetera, et cetera. You're absolutely right. That's going to allow a carrier partner like us to develop solutions and again, figure out the best way to move the freight and understand where they can cut, not necessarily cut costs, but get the best bang for the buck, if you will.
Yeah, value, right? And yeah. We've always talked to, I think we've always emphasized talking about value, not cost, because that's what people, I think, at the end of the day, really, that's what their touchstone is. And unfortunately for us, the last few years have created a marketplace where people could make outlandish promises on the back of not necessarily well-vetted networks or not really well-vetted processes or well-developed processes. And they could keep those promises because it was fish in a barrel, right, to move freight.
Yeah.
I think that you find out who's been swimming naked when the tide goes out, right? And this is one of those times, right?
Yeah.
And I think that the extent that our partners know how securely tied our trunks have been, but there's going to be challenges ahead for folks that were really playing the game.
And we're already seeing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's timing is everything. In this business, and a lot of businesses, but it certainly, we're seeing some struggles, and it's market driven in a lot of places. It's when did the RFP go live? What type of conversations are you having? Are you, again, being proactive with your tender rejections or understanding how deep in the routing guide you're going to go? So it's been fun. It's been challenging, but it makes you appreciate the folks who do understand it and who do are asking the right questions or are asking the important details on the why and the story of it all versus just being like, what? 1200 to 1400? What the heck?
WTF.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we were touching on that earlier, and it's funny when I was out on the floor chatting a little bit ago, I was talking to one of our sales guys about just how few people I think in the day-to-day decision making role right now have ever seen a healthy freight market. And
right.
And I buy healthy on both sides of that ball, right? Because no one would describe the COVID freight market as healthy and right.
Correct.
From our seat, it was quite healthy, but right, for most people it was not. And certainly the last 3 years have been resoundingly unhealthy for everybody not on the shipper side. And what is that, when I think about who that person is over my 20-ish years of working in freight, it was usually someone who was relatively new to an operation, relatively new to an organization, hitting the button on tendering out freight, managing some relationships. Yeah, there's a really different world coming for that person, right? That person that was in that seat in 2019 is probably not there anymore.
Yeah,
probably, moved up or moved out.
Yeah, switched career paths.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good, right, come to their senses. But yeah. So I think that as far as where, like, there's potential for a lot of extra friction, I think that is one of the places that I don't think is being really fully thought through. That
just a lack of experience. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to. And so when I think about us and what can we do, again, most of our client relationships are deep and partner driven and we're really communicative kind of all the time. But to the extent that you have someone who's young and relatively green and maybe not even that green, even if somebody's been in the seat for 4 or 5 years,
right?
It's really important to be able to show up with an eye towards education. And to be able to walk through that, hey, this next few quarters, if things get bad, again, look, maybe fourth quarter things start getting like real hairy if you really don't have your stuff together. But
yeah,
but I don't think it should be like that punishing. I guess I hope I'm not wrong about that. But that almost to be able to be like therapeutic for this person, like, hey, this isn't going to always be this way, right?
Yeah,
there's going to be a storm here. It's going to get really bumpy.
It's here.
Yeah, it's going to be bumpy for a little while here. But look, we all know that these weather delays or these weather disruptions, when they happen, they take weeks to flesh out.
Yep.
We had serious ones. You know, yep. that January freeze was absolutely no joke.
3 days off of school here in Columbus, Ohio, Andrew. Not great.
Not great whatsoever for anything. God, what percentage of homes have like freeze damage? It was disastrous across the board. And that's a way bigger disruption than it gets felt in the moment. And so I think as we see these things start to unwind, and granted, they are going to unwind right as we roll into produce season, which
we're going to touch on. It's a topic.
Its own thing. But I do believe that we're still in that like relative equilibrium type of zone, and that look, people should expect little disruptions to be massively disruptive because of just how desperate the market is for some black ink. But I don't think that right now you should call like a permanent direction.
Agree. One final thought. We were talking about that Delilah's bill. I thought it was interesting. A take on it was, I don't know the full number. I'm going to get it wrong, so I'm not even going to give the numbers. But it was basically like 20% of the capacity, if that was passed, could be in jeopardy of essentially being illegal.
Yeah.
Right? And the counter was that alone. Like, imagine if it was removed 20% and one person was saying, or an online prognosticator was suggesting, like, and that's when the freight market will get really exciting and like the rates are going to go through the roof and yada, 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 which may be true. However, like the downside is that allows, similar to what we saw in COVID, the entry of people who aren't trained.
Right.
You got to have a plan in place that, like, it's one thing to say get rid of all this capacity because they're unsafe or et cetera. More illegal and not allowed to be here, et cetera. But you can't just then replace them with, no, move the training up. Instead of being 90 days, let's make it 47 or whatever. Like, there's some things that you
good reference right there.
Can't, that shouldn't be taken for granted there. And it's important to, again, let's focus on the regulation is important and the safety is super important. So like, there's a little bit more to flesh out and as far as the execution of it.
Yeah.
I thought it was important.
Well, if you want to terrify yourself. Imagine that scenario, right? Where we get back to a place where there is a like massive influx of new supply because the rates in trucking are just so attractive.
Right.
And then layer on how much communication and decision-making capacity is being pushed to AI.
Right.
Right now. And how focused people are on not touching their freight, which, what a weird thing to be proud of, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That is what like really frightens me, right?
Sure.
Is that there is so much discernment happening on the front line with a really good capacity team. Like, and I'm not shitting on AI, like, obviously.
Yeah.
We all need to be more efficient. We all need to be more productive. We all need to use the tools to the best of our ability.
Yep.
But like, there's also like a level of kind of commoditization and ubiquity that happens with some of these tools, where it becomes a have to have. It becomes everybody else is whatever dropping.
Don't get left behind.
Yeah, and look, if people are going to drop their prices because they're going to claim that their cost base is down, which we all know is bullshit, but then you've got to operate in kind. And I don't want to see the really, really critically important part of this business that is vetting for quality,
mm-hmm.
that just is not very easy for an AI to do, right? Outside of the quantitative. And if I know, Jesse, you were here when CSA scores were a part of, right? When those were required, the data sucks. It's bad. I mean, it's like 10% of carriers have active data.
Right.
So when it comes to purely using qualitative or quantitative data to qualify a carrier, it's not possible.
Right.
So you're either talking about losing 20% of the marketplace and then having an influx of carriers that come in and then only being able to properly vet 4 or 5% of those carriers.
Right.
So yeah, I do think that it creates a precarious environment.
A challenge, yeah, for sure. Well, I'm glad we walked through that. Delilah's bill. Yeah, we'll see in the Q4 2027 update when that actually gets passed.
Yeah, and we're all freaking out.
Yeah. We're going to head into a typical Q2, right? There's some highlights, some interesting developments in Q2 that are a bit different from other quarters out there. So produce season typically starts in the Southeast. That's mid-spring. We'll call it, I think we used to call it tax day through July 4th, basically. The CVSA blitz weeks. So there's an international road check in May. That's when those 10% numbers get accomplished and in heavy duty. Maybe they jump up to 15, where the enforcers or the Department of Transportation is out on the road verifying our truck drivers are following all the right protocols. And then we do still have some potential weather heading into Q2. We're seeing it, again, Columbus, Ohio, classic false flag spring, where hey, it's 60 degrees, let's go, baby. And then 2 days later, it's snowing and freezing.
Soul crusher.
Yeah. So those are all, can be bumpy, right?
Yeah.
I think it's been interesting the last few years, produce hasn't really, quote unquote, popped.
Yeah.
If you will, when you say, you talked about equilibrium, right? And when it is in equilibrium, we're closer here or now than we have been in a while. When you do have a 20% increase in outbound Miami reefer loads, okay, that's going to change things, right? So we'll see how that plays out this year.
Yeah, I think that If I were in a planning role right now, I would be looking at the winter storm response as a bit of a canary in the coal mine for what's going to happen. I think that there's probably a decent enough amount of slack in the marketplace that, like, you're going to have like you're going to have those very hot markets where it's like, look, the freight just is not going to move.
Right. We're already seeing it right now. So
yeah.
We have a customer that ships outbound Arkansas refrigerated product. And I mentioned the rejection rates between 10 and 15%. It was 50% at one point. And there was like 2,500 loads to 60 trucks in the area or something like that.
Yeah.
And the closest bigger markets, Memphis, are over 100 miles away. So
you're buying a truck at that point, right?
Correct.
It's just how bad does it have to move?
Right. We'll see if we get there. I think some other customers we've talked about, I'm like, this just doesn't make any sense. If I have to pay $10,000 for $5,000 worth of product on my truck, it doesn't
yeah.
I'll just hold out and talk to my customer, deal with it. Well, that makes a lot of sense. So again, like you said, it'll be interesting with the weather that probably was longer. The disruption was longer than normal, or longer than it has been the last 3 years. That if we see that all take effect in produce, so like maybe Miami was hot for a week or two, it might be 3 or 4 this year.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I think you do have to take a cumulative viewpoint on all these disruptions. Like, look, winter started for us right after Halloween in the Midwest. It's been snowy, and there's been I think, at least in my memory, between my time in Ohio and Michigan and Indiana and Chicago this year, there's been precipitation.
Correct.
At least
everyone freaks out.
Yeah, and anecdotally, it's been more than I've seen in prior years for a much longer period of time, and in a market where you've been washing out supply for a very long time. You've been slowly doing things to try to improve demand. I think obviously there's an administration that has a really strong push towards the creation of demand, and some of those effects may be beginning now. You've got to expect that the combination of those two things are going to be felt when they're at their zenith on the supply side and at the beginning on the demand side. But I still think it's really important to be level-headed about what we're looking at from a market, from a macro perspective, and I believe that these things will start to calm down before we get into like the real meat of produce.
Yeah, I agree. It's been interesting too, and it's something to monitor as well. a line that I've been using a lot is like the floor has been raised, right? Like for a while there, you could find a truck basically whatever price you wanted,
yeah,
which is not great. And whether it's quality, whether it's, like you said, everyone just seeking out the alternatives or refusing to accept that there aren't alternatives out there. Like, I'm not going to take this $1.20 a mile because someone's offering me $1.60. I got to go get it.
Yeah.
Now there's more people offering that. So I definitely have to go get it.
I think what can be a nice place for us, and look, I don't know how much data we would have to see this effect in play, but I certainly something that I've felt for us over the years when we've been in markets that are shifting back in the favor of carriers is that the capacity market that we live in at Zipline, it's actually pretty static. Like, it's not as elastic as everything else. It's not cheapo bottom dollar guys. Almost all of our carriers, in fact, part of the way that we're vetting them, we want them to be very serious about their business.
Sure.
They're not fly by night. So when you have these moments where there's somebody on the other line for $1.38 and you're offering $1.35, I think there's just a little bit less of that.
Yeah.
On sort of our parts. And I know there are other 3PLs that operate the way that we do, that play in the market that we do, and that we don't necessarily experience that same level of utter shock. Again, you know, the point that we were talking about earlier, though, right? I mean, you have essentially a routing guide on each lane, right? An internal routing guide on each lane. You've got partner carriers that you know. Now, yeah, sure. If a lane is disrupted and it's moving on the wrong day, or it's moving well above its planned volume, or a snowstorm or an ice storm somewhere disrupts the capacity from being where it's supposed to be, yeah, it can cause really serious problems. But yeah, I think there's a little bit less of that. And to me, you know, we've always been so good about like sales discipline,
mm-hmm.
you know, not just trying to grab opportunities and figure it out.
Right.
And I think staying disciplined to that is something that we've always been able to set ourselves apart from the marketplace on. And I think that's going to play out here too.
Agreed. The Blitz week, we'll just touch on that real quick, but it's only 5 business days, maybe even 4 business days, but I'd be interested to see speculative. I think I said that right. But I wonder if there is any lingering, like you mentioned, 10% of carriers have checks or whatever the data point is. It's not enough. If there is any lingering quote unquote bad actors out there that are still in the marketplace, right? Whatever that percentage may be, like certainly in Blitz week, that leftover is not going to be running.
Yeah.
Right. So that's another one where, again, for the past 3 years or so, we haven't seen much disruption or much extended disruption with those Blitz weeks. We might see a little bit more of that this time.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to find out if like that capacity that goes on vacation during Blitz week every year happens to coincide
right
exactly with
right
everybody that's being weeded out of the system. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a worthwhile speculation, I mean.
I thought one thing too, again, I'm meandering here, but one of the things in produce season or any of these markets where that become hot, again, in that equilibrium, we would say a carrier would maybe take a lower rate to go into that market because they know they're getting a higher rate out.
Yeah.
What's been interesting over the last couple months is referencing back to that floor is raised is that's not happening.
There are no backhauls.
Correct. So that's going to be interesting to see, again, if you have those spikes, you know, it's not on our show list, but the most recent one is a fuel uptick, right? And some of those are more or less baked into contractual freight.
Yeah.
But on the spot market, right? Like that's something to consider. If you're, I think we had it where it went up 20 cents a mile over a week.
Yeah.
In a week's time, if you're talking a 2,000 mile run, that's a significant jump that you need to plan for and you need to adjust for.
Yeah. And if you think about how far behind sometimes a shipper's routing guide or how if their fuel's updating every Tuesday, yeah. Right? Official DOE may update on Tuesday, but like Vlad updated his cost live.
Right. Yeah. Oh, saw that.
Yeah. It's yeah. going up. Yeah. We were chatting with Curly and the capacity team out there. Like I always, in my time in the seat in carrier sales and really even on the customer side, like I liked when fuel was the driver. Just it's one of the few times in this space where everyone knows what's going on. It's like
you would hope.
Yeah. It's yeah. Right. Especially this one. I mean,
I would think
you'd like to,
if
like
we haven't been paying attention. Yeah.
I'd like to believe that everyone knows that this
there's an issue.
Yeah, there's a real issue.
Yeah.
And that it's a global market and the
correct
rate, the prices go up. But yeah, that's going to be another big story, I think, for the year, possibly positively and negatively, right? Right now, it's a really big challenge, but
talking about the floor being raised, it could be, hey, it was 35 cents a mile. It's now 65. Like, get used to it. Like,
yeah.
This is it.
Yeah.
It's not going back.
Wouldn't it be nice? This is never going to happen because it's not how the world works. But if we saw a fuel spike and people set their budgets and then fuel dropped and we just allowed trucking companies to make a living.
How about it?
That'd be amazing.
What a con.
We just gave that a shot for a little while.
Do you see something to consider for all of our customers and shippers out there?
We're going to edit that.
I think we have plenty of folks who do understand that.
Look, I think most of the folks, again, playing in the consumer space, playing in the space where the performance really, really, really matters.
Yeah.
Our customers understand this implicitly. They don't, I can't say how many meetings I've had with clients where they're like, hey, we don't want your carriers losing money. Like, you're not driving people out of business, are you? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Definitely not. But I think as a macro market and industry, it sure would be nice to get people to a place where
everybody wins
or just not one population just loses.
Right. No, that's a good call. So let's talk about from like the customer or shipper perspective. I think we've touched on some of the pain points, routing guides being disrupted, costs rising, hopefully gradually, but in some cases, spikes. Do you think there's any advantages right now?
Well, look, I think that, again, I can only speak to the clients that we work with that have made the decision over the years, over good markets and bad markets, to be partners. And they really reap their rewards now, right? Like they've been getting positive benefits, right? For 3 years, of course. But like now is really where they reap rewards that the others do not. It really separates them from everybody else. And so if I think about who we represent, brands, manufacturers, folks whose product needs to be on a shelf within reach of a human or a click away from their end consumer in order to capitalize on all of their investment in production and logistics, that if you've been partner focused and you know that you can keep your shelf space well stocked and you can keep your retailer relationships in a great place at Expo West, I think what's always one of my favorite things is that like invariably we have conversations with retailers who are like, oh God, we love brands that work with you guys.
Yeah.
Like it's so nice and refreshing as a buyer or as a person who's got a planogram going to not have to try to figure out what my plan B, plan C, and plan D are for this shelf space that I've promised to this brand because I know that they have their focus in the right place. And so I think there's a great place for shippers to stand out, and it's to focus your energy on getting your product on the shelf.
You nailed it. I think there's a really chance for like eyes to be opened of who is in it for the long haul, pun intended. Who's ready to step up when things get a little more challenging, right? Oh, this guy, he's he's 20% less than you for the last 3 years. He's still nailing it. And then all of a sudden, that person's gone.
Yeah.
And what are we going to do? Oh, okay. Maybe we'll, you were fourth on the routing guide, but you're 99%.
Yeah.
Let's go. Can you handle more? Can you do this? Can you do that? Yep.
Yeah. And listen, if there's advice to be taken for shippers, it's really, you know, if you're evaluating who's a partner and who's not, right? If you don't know yet right now who's a partner and who's not, like that information is going to come at you relatively, probably suddenly. But give your network the opportunity to be disciplined partners.
Yeah.
Like discipline is the name of the game for really long jet freight capacity providers or logistics solutions providers. Like discipline has always been the name of the game for us. And it's not always easy to explain the benefits of discipline in tight markets when new business is hard to come by, but it really shows itself during these times. So if you're a shipper, let people be disciplined. Let the person that is fourth or fifth in the routing guide show up for you over and over again at that rate and prove to you why they were right when they quoted that rate in the first place.
Because
that person should be rewarded for passing on business that didn't make sense and for having the discipline to put an honest rate in place.
Yeah.
And so I think that's how you build great partnerships.
Agreed. It'll be interesting to see a challenge of, you mentioned folks not being in the seat with these disruptions.
Absolutely.
I think of just like in the era of cost cutting and seeing, like you said, oh, I can handle this with only two people in my operation because I'm at 99% acceptance and da 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 da. Well, talk about burnout pretty quickly if those two people are now dealing with 20% rejection rates and freights being rolled and reschedules and MABDs are missing, and all of a sudden that two-person team is fighting fires and desperate for a solution. And I remember those days taking it home with you. Like, this is unbearable. I can't handle it. It can get really, really overwhelming. So trying to like empower them, like you said, to find a solution and a partner is important. But that could be a challenge for some folks.
For sure.
Those lean teams, right? And
this brings me back to like some of our oldest relationships who maybe were with us when we were small, and then some of them went to big corporate roles and mm-hmm. we weren't the partner for them then. And as they've circled back around, so many of them come back with this really similar story. That's like, we hit this point of scale and we started building out our like logistics, our internal logistics team. We brought it in house. And we built a routing guide and we started tendering freight and we were saving 12, 13, 15% top line. And then, you know, like sure enough, as the market dynamics change, we find ourselves in this place where we're basically just paying market rates. And now I have like 7 24-year-olds who are just running around rescheduling shit and chasing down trucks. And I'm spending all the money I saved on freight,
right,
on either staff to track down that freight or fees, fines, and I'm sorry's, you know, mea culpas to retailers and customers. And like the percentage of those folks, like whether it's because they made a strategic decision in their business or they just went to a different business where things were different and came back and was like, it doesn't make sense for me to own this.
Yeah.
It's not what I do. I make widgets. I don't move widgets.
Yeah.
That's another one is that, you know, look, if you've got a great partner or, and obviously you know who to call if you're looking for one, but lean in and let them own it and like trust them, right? If you built a relationship built on trust, that has to hold in good times and bad, right?
Yeah.
And so lean in and let your partner show you why they're valuable.
Nailed it. I think we've touched on most of these, but we're gonna toot our own horn here real quick, but particularly with Canopy, right? I think there's the data, the tracking of the data. If you've partnered with us for a long time, we can show you a macro impact and what our current impact is on your business. there's, we touched on it before, our consolidation tool that can help drive some costs and efficiencies throughout the week of the freight moving. And some of our, in really just the retail expertise, right? I think that's another highlight. We talk about it all the time, but you could figure it out in a down market if like what Costco scheduling is, but you know, a quick phone call, a talk to someone, oh, you'll actually have a second shift, you'll stay open. Those little extra nuances, it's through experience by doing that all the time that we've developed those skills. So it is an opportunity to, again, set us apart from the rest of the folks out there.
There are a lot of ways to get a return on your logistics investment besides just telling people to go find cheaper trucks. And now's the time to start figuring those things out.
Overall, produce will probably have an impact.
It'll have an impact, yeah.
Yeah. Back to that, like you said, equilibrium where these spikes in demand will cause disruptions across the market as a whole. It will be interesting to see the, I don't know if it's an elephant in the room, but one element of the macro market that we've experienced 2/3 of the way through Q1 was imports have been down. So there was a tariff ruling and...
Yeah, we didn't even touch on that. Good God.
They're starting to pop. And so like that, this was the first time I think in a long time that I've seen a good chunk, we'll call it 80% of the country on a map of like a heat map, if you will, and most of it being red and Southern California being blue,
yeah,
cold. And I can't...
That's strange.
And even COVID, right? That was when the ships were backed up,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so to think that one of the biggest shipping markets, if not the biggest in the country, was cold while this disruption was happening and it could cause... And it again, it's coming... is another element to where another like kindling on the fire, if you will, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Are people starting to rush shipments in to try to hit this window where it's like, hey, we're in this 15%. We at least know what the number looks like. Let's go. Is that happening?
Rush maybe might be slightly hyperbolic, but increase for sure. I mean, can kind of only go up, right? That's how low it was.
Yeah.
It was low, like historically low. And it's starting to creep.
Yeah, well, certainly. With that layers in on top of Nogales, it's going to be dicey.
Yeah, but as usual, you can call 888-GO-ZIPLINE if you want to talk about this or other things. We'd love for our listeners to leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple. We're going to have our quarterly update blog post in the show notes. Appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
This might be our longest one ever. It was great seeing you. Thank you. As always,
hitting
truck,
it.
Yeah. We'll see you next time.